Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp, and Reggie. And we're all kicking it tonight in studio. And yeah, that's right. Damn right. 8 to midnight, Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 to 11, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Very simple. We're on every single night during football season. And we need you here because we would like to entertain your pants off and then back on and then maybe back off again.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
That's the goal.
It's all about you in this situation. But right now, it's time for us to go and stumble, rumble, and bumble through the NFC East. What?
Bumble.
Yeah, it's the bumble part.
I just want to know if he's going to do all the sounds. All right, guys, you know how it works in around the NFC East. Choose your own adventure. Would you like to start with the Redskins, the Eagles, the Giants, or the Cowboys?
You know what? Let's hear about the Redskins, Kevin.
All right, there are interesting doings transpiring with the Redskins. So, word going around is that Colt McCoy is fully healthy and could well start in week 5. Now, Jay Gruden said, you might get ahead of yourself a little bit. No decision has been made on the quarterback just yet. So, he's disputing that idea that they've already made a decision, and he would even confirm whether or not Colt McCoy was even good to go. Now, it might not make a difference one way or another because this weekend they're hosting the Patriots. It's going to be quite the remarkable week for the Redskins as they go from hosting the Patriots to playing the Dolphins. So a good argument can be made that you're going from playing the best team in the league to the worst team in the league. Because of that, Joe Theismann
is going to start.
Well, I mean, he could, but I feel like he's been anti-Dwayne Haskins for a while. But he said, quote, you cannot start Dwayne Haskins against the New England Patriots. Then he went on to say, and I promise this is not the same. I mean, this is all he said, all of these things. I'm not like accidentally repeating. You can't start Dwayne Haskins against the New England Patriots. I mean, it can't happen. It wouldn't be good for him. It wouldn't be good for the franchise. It wouldn't be good for football, for crying out loud. What the hell does that last part mean?
Football!
Like, I get why it might not be good for him, because they might get their heads kicked in, but why is it bad for football? Okay, so seeing Colt McCoy is good for everybody? Awesome.
My problem is the coaching is so poor that he's not going to have, and the franchise is in such disarray, he's not going to have an opportunity to make something good happen. You know, like that's a bad team. And so somehow Baker was able to get everybody fired that he wanted to get kicked out of there.
Right.
I don't know if Dwayne Haskins, like if he goes to his owner, if his owner can process what he needs done in order to make a good franchise around him. And that's the way I feel about the whole Redskins thing, man. They don't know what they're doing. And that is a good quarterback. Colby, we talked about Tom Brady landed in just the right place.
Right.
To become Tom Brady.
Haskins did not land in the right place.
Maybe Brady has the arm strength and the brains to have a good career. But with Bill Belichick, he's had a great career. And Dwayne Haskins is going to be a good quarterback that because of the ineptitude of their entire business office, they can't put something together for this kid to make it good for football, Kevin.
So I told you the Redskins host the Patriots this week. What do you think the point spread is on that?
67.
Ooh.
68.
It's lower than that.
70.
I'm going to go lower.
Washington at home.
Yeah, the last game. I'm going to go with 22 and a half.
Oh, wow. They're not as horrid as 250. The Dolphins.
15 and a half.
Ooh, very close.
16 and a half.
The Patriots are 15-point favorites in this game.
Where's the half? You have to have a half.
I know. A lot of times,
just been like, hey.
Usually the lines will shift during the week, and then you'll see the half point before the game. All right, you want to go Eagles? You want to go Giants, or do you want to go Cowboys?
I want Eagles be talked about.
Yep, mark that.
Damn it.
So we start with the bad news for the Eagles. They continue to look at problems on the injury front. Avonte Maddox has sprained his neck. He'll likely be out a few games. They don't have a specific on that yet, but the word going around was he's considered week to week. Remember that term because that'll come up with another one of the teams in just a minute. But the neck sprain, he'll be out and will probably miss a few games. This stems, of course, from the injury suffered Thursday against the Packers. In other Eagles news...
What about Jordan Howard? How's he doing?
No update on him.
Okay, I need some more information on him because I'm trying to pick him up in my fantasy league right now.
Okay, I'll see...
Pick him up?
Yeah, I got... He scored like 35 points
But like he's just out there?
Yeah, dude. He was in my league, yeah. I don't know why.
What are you doing?
My league, because I have three Kansas City running backs right now. I didn't know which one to go for. Plus, Jordan Howard, has he been any good so far?
Yeah, he's been decent.
Okay. Back to you, Kevin.
I might have a Kansas City running back update later in the show. The Eagles possess the top third down offense in the league thus far this year. They are converting on 56.1% of their third downs, which is just ahead of the Cowboys, who are in second place at 52.4%.
Okay.
Now, we didn't see a lot of that magic last night, but in case you wonder, like, how do you get to be one of the best teams? Here are the worst five percentages. The Jets, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Redskins, and the Jags. That is not a bad representation for some of the worst teams in the league. Then you look at the top five, Eagles, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, and Colts. Not a bad representation of some of the better teams in the league. So the Eagles possess the most efficient third down offense in the league.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, man.
Absolutely. 56%?
Crazy. Yeah. How are you going to stop that?
The other 40-some-odd percent of the time.
44%.
But 40-odd is good. That's actually it's 40 even, but...
Oh, my God. All right, you guys want to go with Giants or Cowboys?
Giants!
All right, we will start with Golden Tate, who says, quote, "I am ungrounded now." He said, "Today is the best day ever. Huge divisional win, and I'm ungrounded now," because he's no longer suspended. And also, he doesn't have to play with Eli Manning. Now, he didn't say that in his quotes, but I'm going to go ahead and read between the lines there that that's really what he meant.
All right, so that team, all right, and Golden Tate, does that mean he's going to play? What's he going to do? What do you think his goals are now in life?
Catch passes.
Catch all the passes or just some of them?
I'm going to say some.
All right, so...
Fight really hard for those some, though.
With that team, with that team now, are they 2-2?
They are 2-2.
And everybody just has gone nuts about the Cowboys and their weak schedule. And the Giants, obviously, with Eli Manning, were weak, right? That was a weak team before. But if this Giants team starts putting something together against a weak schedule, you know, you got to beat the weak teams, too, if you're one of these teams. This could be a really different looking NFC East than we thought, man. That could be a team that kind of makes a push late here.
Well, I think you'll get a good look at how for real the Giants are or are not this weekend. They host the Vikings, and they are 4.5-point favorites over the Vikings.
But that would be, they would be 3.5-point favorites with Eli, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Right.
By the way, I haven't seen a spread yet on the Eagles-Jets game. The Eagles host still don't know who's going to be the quarterback there. I would guess that comes in somewhere around maybe 12 or something like that, 10 to 12. So, yeah, Eagles will be big favorites over the Jets. The Giants, 4.5-point underdogs against the Vikings. Now, let's go back to a former New York Giant player. Do you remember Eric Flowers?
I do remember Eric Flowers.
I do too.
How terrible he was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, he now plays for the Redskins, and they were rocking and rolling at the stadium, and they were winning and everything like that. The Giants were. So Eric Flowers had this to say. Once they get back to losing, the stadium will be empty. That's how I feel about them. Ouch. But don't worry, he's not done.
He was part of the reason they were losing.
Right. Yes. Well, he's definitely not done. I don't care for Giants fans. They feel about me how I feel about dentists. I don't care for the place much. I would have loved to have come out of here with a W, but it's all good. So you're thinking, okay, you've made your point. Nope, not done yet. What about the GM and the coach? Gettleman? Nah, I don't care to see him. F. The world will go into flames before me and him have a conversation.
Oh.
Shermer? I don't care for him either. So then, surely now he's done.
Right.
No. Oh. What do you think about being on the Redskins now instead of the Giants, even though your team sucks? F. Nobody is more happy not to be here than me. This has been so much more of an enjoyable experience, man. I'm not looking back at my time here. Being here with the Giants for me was just toxic. It was toxic on the field, off the field. It just doesn't fit me.
You are playing for the worst team in the league right now.
Ooh.
One of the worst teams in the league right now.
Don't forget the Dolphins exist.
All right, that's fine. But do the Redskins have a better record than the Dolphins right now?
They're equally bad. I would argue the Redskins are the second worst team.
All right, that's fine.
I don't know. I'm watching the Bengals play right now.
The Bengals are in my bottom five, sure.
That's fine. Even still, dude, you got sent to a terrible, toxic environment. Like, that's a bad place to be, man. It is not good to be where the Redskins are. And maybe you feel that it is okay. There are players that don't want to play there because they're afraid of what the medical group will say if they get injured. They're like, I don't want to be here because I don't trust you guys.
Brent Williams.
That is a group right there that the owner doesn't care about the team. The fans don't care about the team. And nobody on the team cares about winning. Why do you think it's better where you are than being a Giant where they have two wins and a new quarterback that looks good right now and potentially one of the best running backs in the league? They have a lot of promise. It's all in chaos and still building and growing, but the Giants are far better off than the Redskins right now. And I'm sorry, Eric Flowers, you're one of the reasons the NFL has teams that look like a dumpster fire all the time.
Woo!
Shots fired!
Guys, let's move on to the Cowboys. We were all enamored with the play of Robert Quinn yesterday, and now I'm even more enamored because of this quote. Robert Quinn said, quote, if I had a good individual performance and we didn't get the win, then my performance wasn't good enough.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's a hell of an awesome quote, right?
That's how you respond. That's how you respond to how you feel about you had a good game.
Now,
nope. Win.
I could always be better. But you know what? Never mind. I'm sorry. Back to you, Kevin.
What do you think the point spread is for this weekend? Cowboys, Packers, 3:25 kickoff, 12 o'clock pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. The Cowboys host the Packers.
2.5 points.
In favor of?
Cowboys.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go 3.5.
Ooh, very well done, Colby.
4.5 points.
It is 3.5, which means Vegas essentially sees these teams as the same. They're both 3-1. Cowboys have home field, hence they get the 3.5 point bump. Now, be prepared to be without Tyron Smith. It does not look like Tyron's going to be able to play on Sunday. More on that in just a second. Jason Garrett said if that's the case, it would really be all hands on deck. So Cam Fleming would move into the starting lineup, and that might mean that Zach Martin or Connor Williams could be, like, in case of an emergency, you would kick one of them out there and kind of shift things along. You might also see a look from Brandon Knight, the undrafted rookie who played tackle during camp and then moved inside to guard. He might get a look as well.
And this is where I wish Connor McGovern hadn't been, you know, a problem early in training camp.
Yes. Because, so Tyron, we told you earlier about the idea of somebody being week to week. Tyron is week to week. The good news was initially it was thought 4 to 6 week injury on the high ankle sprain. Now after the MRI, they say it does not look as bad as initially predicted. So maybe he only misses 2 games You know, and 2 as opposed to 6, that's a win, obviously. Right. Even 3 as opposed to 4, that would be good.
So, yeah, but we've seen what it looks like without Tyron sometimes, man, and it's not pretty.
Sure.
Like, I know it's not Chaz Green, and there's no way that Jason Garrett is going to walk into this thing and say, you know what, guys, we can't just go out there and put a running back over there. We gotta let them be one-on-one the entire game. Like, they're going to keep an eye and monitor whoever it is that they decide to put over there.
You think.
Right?
But I can't guarantee that. Now, in other injury news, the Cowboys are worried that Kayvon Frazier suffered a pectoral tear in yesterday's loss. They said depending on the location of the tear, he might need surgery, which could put him out for the entirety of the season. That, of course, as you were referring to earlier, is the injury that is undergone for Connor McGovern. He also suffered a partially torn pec, and the worry is that he's not going to play all season. So this could be something that knocks Kayvon Frazier out the rest of the way.
Did we not see a report that he is out for the season?
Is that official?
I think I saw something that came in on the fan text earlier a little bit. From breaking news from the fan, Dallas Cowboys safety Kayvon Frazier out for the season with the torn pec muscle.
All right. Well, we said it would depend on the location. I guess it was the bad location in the pec.
Yeah.
So.
Is that the. Never mind.
Huh?
Nope. I'm not going to try and go with a joke there.
Huh?
And don't forget, the breaking news is brought to you by the Radio Sports app and Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Ooh, look at that synergy right there. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, facts we underestimated. How important is this specific guy? Talk about it next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp all hanging in studio tonight. 877-881-1053. Did we underestimate just how important this player would be for the Cowboys this year? And it is Michael Gallup that I'm talking about.
Oh.
Michael Gallup, and I don't know if y'all feel the same, but I feel like if Michael Gallup had been available for last night's game, things could have been much different. And it goes back to what he did in the first 2 games and how much of an impact he made in those first 2 games, because he was the leading receiver for your team. He was the guy that was running routes that Amari Cooper it put him in one-on-one coverages sometimes because they were like, crap. Michael Gallup keeps beating this guy over here. And Devin Smith did not see a single target against the Saints. Could that be because they didn't have any available, because he just wasn't open? We'll have to watch the All-22 to see what went on there, and I'll be checking that out probably tomorrow. But he was your leading receiver. Michael Gallup was your leading receiver in the first 2 games in targets and yards. So he had 15 targets. Amari Cooper had 14, Cobb had 11, and Jason Witten had 8. When you take him out of the game, when you take him away, the whole offense shifts. Guess who became your second leading receiver in targets whenever Michael Gallup went out?
Who is that?
Jason Witten?
You would think that would be an option.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
It was Zeke. Zeke went up to – Zeke had 4 targets before game 3. And he has 10 since.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has 10 in the last 2 games. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but that means that you're trying to force a ball to a running back and taking him out of the backfield, which allows pressure, right? And you're also running him in routes that aren't conducive to what you did in the first 2 games, because you could change things with what you did with Michael Gallup out on the field. He drew coverage. He just had to. So it opened up things for Zeke. Now you're putting him basically what you saw last year against the Rams, where you're like, okay, we're just going to have to force it down to Zeke. Amari Cooper leads the team right now in the last 2 games with 15 targets, rightfully so. But they do try to force it to him because he's that guy. Jason Witten, mind you, Colby, 8. So in the first two games, 8 targets. In the last two games, 8 targets as well.
All right.
And Cobb has 10. So it just, the way things shuffle, it didn't change much, right? Except for now Zeke becomes more prevalent in the passing game where he doesn't need to be because he's supposed to be efficient in the running game. So it was Gallup, Cooper, Cobb, Witten, and now it's Cooper, Zeke, Cobb, Witten. And again, the other wide receiver, Devin Smith, 0 targets in this game. In the first two games, Gallup had 226 receiving yards and Cooper had 150. And that's, you're like, hold on, but Amari Cooper's the man, right?
Yeah.
Well, if the single coverage depicts throw it to this guy who's running just as good a routes and has the single coverage, then keep exposing it. That's what the Patriots did so well with Julian Edelman and Gronk. They said, okay, which one do you want? We could expose you with either one of these guys because they're a mismatch nightmare. And Michael Gallup is a mismatch nightmare because he's kind of the same guy as Amari Cooper. He can do a lot of things. And you know what? He's willing to go across the middle and take the big hit if necessary. In the last two games, Amari Cooper has not gotten to the 150 yards that he had in the first two games. And Jason Witten has gotten 104 yards. So they've lost yardage with Michael Gallup out of the game. And I just don't know if anybody really took into consideration how much of an impact he was going to make this year or how much of an impact he could make this year either.
I mean, history should show you that if you have a number one wide receiver and you don't have a solid number two wide receiver, they can find a way to shut down your number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at from tandems throughout history where they're – you want to talk about what the Bengals had with Jeff's favorite guy. Oh, my God. It just left
Ocho Cinco and Hushmanzada.
And TJ Hushmanzada. Then you look at Jerry Rice and Taylor. You look throughout history, and if you see one good wide receiver that's kicking ass, you're probably going to be able to name the other guy.
Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you see those things, you realize that these things happen because you have to pay attention to both sides. Once you don't have to pay attention to both sides, or at least two receivers out there that could burn you or just make you pay for not concentrating on that guy, that then makes it to where you can cover one receiver, and then you can also mess with the run. And that's what throws this offense off a little bit, because how we thought they were flexible,
mm-hmm.
and that you put everybody in the box, we'll just throw it downfield and make you pay for that. You don't put everybody in the box, we're running the football.
Yeah.
You start to lose that when you don't have that other guy that's going to make you go, oh, yeah, we got to really worry about him.
All right, so we have a strategy in place for this weekend since it still doesn't look like Gallup will be back,
the
right?
Strategy from what we just saw against the Saints, Kevin, was to go out there and feed the ball to Ezekiel Elliott more by giving him the ball in the running game.
I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't like any sentence that starts with the strategy like you saw in the Saints game. I don't want to hear it.
Gallup opened everything up for Kellen Moore to do what he does. And I think that was the reason that they backed things off a little bit. Now, the Dolphins are a different story, right? Because they felt like they could pretty much do what they wanted against the Dolphins, and they had some big pass plays to Devin Smith too. But I don't know if the Cowboys believe that they have any receivers that can get open aside from Amari Cooper. I mean, they tried, you know, Cobb had a couple passes that, you know, one was behind him and he had the one that bounced off his fingertips. There were a couple times where Cobb wasn't on the same page with Dak. And I'll be very honest, he's a number three wide receiver. He's my third guy who is a mismatch in the slot. And that's all I really want him to be. He can do all sorts of crazy fun things, but I don't want him to be the mirror of Amari Cooper on the other side. I'm not asking him to be. But the problem is the Cowboys said, well, who's our next best player? Our next best player is Zeke. So we'll try and figure out how to throw him the ball more and get him into those routes and those opportunities. And it didn't work. And then so they said, well, what else can we do with Zeke? Well, we could run the ball with Zeke. And so they began to run the ball. And no, Kevin, I don't think the Cowboys have that plan in place right now. And that's concerning to me.
How could you not? I mean, because it looks very unlikely that, I mean, I guess we'll find out as we go along.
Is he out
the week? He's not going to play this week. I'm going to go and throw it out
there.
And
I don't want him to rush back either.
Yeah, and so I don't think he's going to play this week. So, you know, maybe he comes back next week. But in the interim, this is a game that, like, you could lose. I mean, I would still pick them
to
win.
You could lose. Absolutely, you can lose this game.
I'll still pick them to win, but it's a game that you could definitely lose. And if you're 3-2 going into that Jets game, you don't feel super great. But I mean, 4-1, that's a whole different world. Maybe you can make it 5-1, have that momentum back up going into the Eagles. And if they don't have a plan, I don't know what we're doing. Like, he's not going to be there. Have a plan. And the plan, I want to clarify this, Corey, the plan cannot be execute better. That is not a plan. That is a thing that could happen.
From the 817, Gallup was important the last time they played the Saints. Yeah, he was. From the 817 also, hey, they said we can put Pollard in two plays. Yeah, no, that's something else I didn't understand. Where was Pollard?
Hey, he was in there for two plays.
But why didn't you use him in the passing game a little bit? Has he not gotten there yet? Has he not gained that trust for you yet?
Dare I throw out one other thing? If one of your running backs is out there and it's just not happening, you don't even consider trying the other one?
I have no problem with getting both of those guys on the field. I mean, you just saw them both get 100 yards in the game before. Yeah.
And in this game, Zeke ran 18 times for 35 yards. I'm not saying that this was Zeke's fault or anything like that, but if one running back is just not working, you have another running back that you like seem pretty okay with, why not give it a shot?
I've seen Andy Reid do that before.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that in the middle of the game the other day. In the middle of the game, he was just like, you know what, LeSean McCoy, we're going to go with Damian Williams now. And they went with Damian Williams at the end of the game. It worked out just fine for him. And that's just what this team can. They should be able to draw up plays that allow for the amount of talent they have. And that's one of the things that I really did think Kellen Moore was doing well with this team. Look, here is the talent that I have. All right, I got Amari Cooper. I know I can get single coverage. If I get single coverage with him, he's beating his guy. So we throw it to him. Michael Gallup, he's willing to run into the zones. I know what I can do with him. Jason Witten, old reliable, we're fine there. So I thought that he had all these ideas of what all his guys were. But I guess we didn't take into account what happens whenever we have a situation where all the talent isn't there. How do we make the adjustment whenever it's time to say, okay, how can we best utilize the talent whenever we have injuries occur? Because that's what you got to be able to be adaptable to.
Yes, you're so right. And that was the direction that I wanted to take this as well. What a terrible strategy that is. Like, I know you can't exactly know who might or might not get hurt, but how are there not like contingency plans on top of contingency plans for all of these things? How do you not have a plan for if one of your offensive linemen goes down, if one of your wide receiver, if, because you're right. It's the NFL. You know who's going to get hurt this weekend? Somebody.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to get hurt. How many games do you ever recall where they're like, nope, they're good? Usually the best thing you get is like, oh, I got a couple of players who might miss the next game. But you came out relatively clean. You know, like that's relatively clean that you're going to have a few players that are going to miss one game. It's the NFL. You're going to have people that are going to get hurt. How you don't have stacks on stacks of contingency plans, I don't understand.
Well, you look at what they did in the draft, and they did something to try and make sure that if you know, an offensive lineman went down, they're going to try and have somebody ready to go. And I think they're trying to have that almost as good as the player they got out there. That's the reason why they're trying to use draft players in order to be able to do it, because of the Jason Garrett's motto, which is coming in on the 214, next man up. And the thought is, instead of, and I hope it's not the same. I hope it's not the same. I hope they learned from the Atlanta game, because this could end up being an Atlanta game.
And that killed the season.
It did. It did. And you do not want that to happen again. You better go in there with a plan that you need to help out that tackle. You need to help him out. And don't just leave him out there and go, well, he's playing Tyron Smith's spot, so he better be as good as Tyron Smith. He's not. I can go ahead and tell you now, he's not.
Like, and I kind of wonder if people forget how crushingly terrible that path was set in motion by that Atlanta game. Because, you know, people get so focused on the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, and I definitely get all that, but like, you had like really picked up on a roll. You were 5-3. You got squashed by Atlanta, which led to you getting squashed by Philly, which led you get squashed by not a very good Chargers team, and you were sunk. Like, mm-hmm. That killed you. That Atlanta game killed you so hard. And I sometimes I think people forget how that killed the season, and they just think the Zeke suspension and don't focus more on how, like, that game killed your season.
From the 817, everyone was all high on the boys when we were 3-0, but look at all the panic now. Arizona Dave from Fort Worth. It's weird. I know Arizona Dave's been with us for a while, but I've always loved the fact that he's Arizona Dave from Fort Worth.
Sure.
I'm not panicking. And there's no way that I'm panicking about this. I want to see the usage different. Why can't you run the same offense that you ran without having to force the ball to Zeke in the air? Or if you're going to do it, why didn't you do it with the screen play? That's where he gets his most yards. You get him in space. You don't get him in one-on-one coverage. That's not where Ezekiel Elliott's going to damage something. He's going to damage somebody whenever it's, oh, hey, we got space to run in. And Gallup was one of the reasons that this team was able to create space. Because whenever you're running routes with Gallup and he's out there making plays and getting catches and picking up 10 yards at a time, it was a big deal, even though he wasn't scoring touchdowns. All he had to do was get a couple of catches early, and it opened up everything for every other receiver on the field, and they were able to do some of these other things. But without Gallup out there, it's a big concern. And I knew he was going to be good. I knew he was going to be a good wide receiver. I did not anticipate that he was going to be this kind of a wide receiver that was going to make this much of an impact for the team, though.
Let's go ahead and give him and Quinn the contract extensions right now.
That's interesting, because Stephen was asked about Robert Quinn's contract, and Skin asked him earlier today, hey, is there going to be enough pie for Robert Quinn? And Stephen was like, look, you never know how things are going to fall. Obviously, you know, we love the work ethic, everything that he's done. He's come in here and been an ultimate pro for us. We appreciate him. But he was, you want to hear it real quick?
Sure.
All right.
Well, you just have to wait and see where things fall. And it's very difficult to, you know, middle of the season right now to really see where things are. You really want to see the full body of work. But I can tell you, since the Jay Quinn walked in the door, he's been nothing but exceed expectations, both on and off the field. His professionalism, he's a complete pro, the way he handles himself. He's very well respected by the team. You know, it's just turned out to be a great pickup by us. And Will and our pro department, Alex Loomis, did a great job of getting us in the mix on that one. And I'm certainly glad we have him. And, you know, as I said last week, I think this defense is only going to get better with time. And, as they play together more and they get their cadence down, I think.
Yeah, so there you go. You don't know, but yeah, I'm not trying to give him a contract right now, Kevin.
Oh, that's not what I heard.
Is that what Steven's saying?
That is not what I heard at all. I heard him say, I mean, look, he hasn't played a whole season yet, so I'm definitely not willing to give him all the money. But then again, if you're willing to come in here like Lyle Collins did and take a deal that we all feel would be reasonable, yeah, I got some money.
You know what I heard? I heard if Dak goes out and puts out that kind of performance again, then we're going to have to start looking at how we make the team better around him.
Oh, man.
And give him the quarterback the most money.
Time to bring back Mike White. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for percentages. My question is going to be, what is the percentage chance that the law the California governor just signed about the NCAA is going to stick? Get in your questions at 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at just $16,900. Visit them online at mymitsu.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside my co-host Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp, and Reginald Atatula. All having a good time. By the way, don't forget, this Thursday night we're going to be at the Eagle's Nest. Can't wait for everybody to be there with us to have a fun party. If you need any information, go to 105.3thefan.com. We always have our events and what we're doing up on the website. Kevin, my first percentage question. Hit the music, Reggie!
It's not a question.
That was a statement.
My first percentage question is, how long is the Gardner Minshew wave going to last?
Ooh.
Because right now, I'm looking at what is potentially tonight's list of Gardner Minshew facts.
At least one more week. I think they beat, I don't know. Now the Panthers have Kyle Allen. Until they lose.
When Gardner Minshew was born, he drove his mom from the hospital. And they get even better than that.
I believe that. All right.
Tom Brady can throw a football 60 yards. Gardner Minshew can throw Tom Brady even further. Gardner Minshew once had a game where he went 34 for 31 with 4 touchdowns and a home run.
Wait, what?
See?
That's more than he even threw the ball.
Defenses count to 7 Mississippi before blitzing Gardner Minshew.
Oh, I thought they were going to say they count to 7 Minshew before going to Mississippi. I don't know, something.
I've got like 3 or 4 friends that I play video games online with that are all like from Florida or live in Florida currently, and they are just, they're huge Jag fans anyway. But then,
are they huge Jags though?
Huh?
Are they huge Jags?
No, not all the time.
Okay.
But yeah, man, it's Minshew magic every single time anybody gets into a chat party. It just wants to talk about him and mustaches.
Wow. Kind of sounds like you're in the middle of being in a gay chat room.
When Gardner Minshew left for college, he told his dad, "You're the man of the house now." The flu gets Gardner Minshew shots twice a year.
Wow.
Anyway, amazing. Back to y'all's. I don't know how long.
What time's this list we just did?
Gardner Mania is going to last, but like, it's getting kind of crazy, man. And people are pushing it just because he has a mustache.
Ooh, I think it'll have about the same shelf life as Linsanity then. So you got about another week on this thing.
It may last longer. He looks really good out there. I mean, just
so
as far
Jeremy
as.
Jeremy Lin.
As, yeah, okay.
Gardner Minshew's Gmail account is gmail@gardnerminshew.com.
Okay. That's quality. I enjoy that.
I like how he's Gardner Minshew the second, and there's not a first.
That's so weird.
And also, still, his granddaddy wanted to name him Beowulf.
Gardner Minshew doesn't dial the wrong number. You answered the wrong phone. All right, 877-881-1053. Text in your percentage questions.
Oh, man.
877-881-1053.
Just imagine him calling you. Hello, this is Gardner Minshew. Oh, S, I answered the wrong phone. Yeah, you did. I got to go.
When Gardner Minshew's daughter lost her virginity, he found it and got it back.
Oh, my God.
How do you do that?
Is he that old?
Huh?
All right, back to you guys.
Was it Eric Flowers?
Oh. From the 214, percentage of people who with contacts who gripe about their contacts at least 10 times a day.
100.
Oh, these darn contacts.
100%. Then go get LASIK or put on glasses or shut up. Like, there's a solution to your problem.
Man,
but it's
contacts.
Not your contact solution.
Yeah, contacts can be quite the whip. You think it's in there? It's double pain. Now.
If you have contacts, why? Why don't you wear glasses? What's wrong with glasses? Is it just too much?
Well, it's
no,
you're
like a nerd.
No, it's the.
I have 3 kids with glasses.
No, that's what they're saying.
Oh, okay.
I think it's great.
You get the glasses that slide down your nose when you're trying to do something or
See?
Work or whatever.
Get them tightened.
He's about to make a nerd reference.
They break and you have to tape them up like a nerd.
Hold on. Don't be running now. What if you guys can't afford to get new glasses immediately? And you're like, oh,
I'd nerd. Like to see.
And are you going to call your kid a nerd?
My old roommate,
oh my
best
God.
Man at my wedding, I was sitting there hanging out with him and Carter.
I didn't get to go.
And he goes, dude, why did you have to get your kid the Revenge of the Nerd glasses? And I was like, what are you talking about, dude? And I looked at him and I was like, oh, man, I didn't pick those. He picked those. And then he walked closer and he goes, oh, those are Cowboys colors. I thought they were different. Never mind. It's cool. But he was going to call my kid a nerd.
I mean, no, he absolutely did.
Yeah, I was like,
call
he already
kid
did it.
A
yeah.
nerd. And then he was backpedaling and he was like, no, but I'm just kidding. You know, like, it's like if you're like,
I'm
gonna
punch that guy in the face the next time I see him.
I mean, I don't think you should. But
what if he deserves it?
You do what you got just for that?
Yep. Oh. Talk S about my kid.
Ooh, Colby, what percentage of your friends have you ever punched? That wasn't even going to be my question.
That hold on.
He's having to count.
Yeah.
He's run out of fingers.
That's right at about 85%.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you punched, I don't know if I can get to
he's
count
punched
as a
us.
Friend. Do we count as friends? I think we're like people he tolerates.
Okay.
Like not
that's
even
most
work.
Of my friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Most of your friends are people you tolerate.
Yeah, because everybody else is people I don't.
From the 469, what is the percentage Jason Garrett takes Kellen Moore's cojones away and forces his game vanilla game plan onto the team again this season?
It'll happen like 100%.
If they're
it's going to happen this week.
If they won the division and have playoff clinch, the last couple of games will probably be that kind of plan. Hey, guys, let's just finish the season out.
He won't let him run his, quote, ridiculous offense then, because that's what I think he calls it. You want to go run your oop-de-oop offense this week? Go ahead. That's
you got to make it diminutive. You want to run your little offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that guy said about my little radio show.
Yeah.
God, I want to punch that guy.
Why didn't you?
Master Peeps, just remember this. Somebody once said, what are you going to do whenever your little radio show comes a-calling? And I was like, man, we have so many listeners out there that love our radio show. Don't ever be, what was the diminutive? Don't ever use that word again.
Diminutive?
Not that word.
I'll try not to use that word.
Sorry. Okay. From the 409, Minshew's the type of guy that tells his dad he's going out for cigarettes and doesn't come back.
Oh, no.
What an abandoned father. I feel so sorry for him.
Yeah. It happens.
Oh, somebody's gearing up for the contacts. I work as an engineer. I need all of my peripheral vision. With glasses, I don't have that. Also, I never bitch about my contacts.
Okay, but then this is not about you. This is about people who complain about their contacts. So I'm surprised it's not 100%. So good on you for not being one of those intolerable people.
From the 469, when it comes to the discussion of the NCAA would accept Cali and New York allowing players being paid, I'd like to ask if the NCAA has more money than those two states. It seems to me that would matter for lobbyists, suits, etc.
Yes, Kevin? Yes, they do. California has no money. So you can buy them out like that. It's going to be really interesting. So Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, as we told you that he would, I guaranteed you that if this got in front of him, he would sign it. He did sign it this weekend. The signing occurred in a Los Angeles barbershop associated with the LeBron James show Uninterrupted, or the shop Uninterrupted. So not surprising there. And I really want to know like what percentage this thing is going to stand, and we're going to see it implemented January 1st, 2023. So like that is when it would all go into effect, and the NCAA is already threatening, like, well, that means we can keep your teams out of playoffs and bowl games and NCAA tournament and all this and that. I feel like some negotiation will take place, and I cannot imagine this just passing the way it is. As far as the New York thing, there's no way in hell that the NCAA will let that stand, because at least with the California thing, like, you can now pay players for their likeness and everything like that. But that doesn't mean the school of the NCAA has to. For the New York thing, that money comes directly from the schools and the NCAA. There's no chance that they're like, oh, yeah, that sounds fair.
Now, on the other side, is there a percentage chance of that growing out of California?
Yes. That's a different thing.
Right.
So, because we're, you know, getting towards the end of 2019. We talked about this, I don't know, few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, if you could get Texas, Florida, Alabama, you know, strategic states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, and they all jumped on board and they're like, we're all going to do this. Well, what the hell is the NCAA going to do now? Well, we're going to kick all your teams out. Awesome. I'm going to create my own college sports league.
Right.
What are you going to do about it? Because I have all the good states.
I'm going to not have your title on any of our college football games.
Exactly.
So there's
that. You're going to be in a lot of trouble if that happens. So that is an intriguing idea, that if a bunch of other states jump in on that, then the NCAA will have to be like, well, we've been able to use all of these people for free for years and years. Let's enjoy, take a bow at all of the kids we cheated out of money, and we'll start to pay them now.
I'm trying to figure out if the states say, are they saying it's going to be law that you have to?
So it's two different things right now. People are like conflating them. They're definitely not the same. In California, what the law that got signed was is athletes may now profit off of their likeness,
right?
And all that, which was prohibited before.
Ed O'Banion, right?
Yes. The New York one, what they're proposing is that you would get a certain percentage, and that comes directly from the NCAA pool and the school. So in that one, you're forcing them to, in the California one, you're allowing them
to do it. So, but that doesn't mean that the schools have to abide by that. They can still enact their own rules, right?
No,
that would be the law of the land and
the law of the state. And if you're like if you're a state university, for example, so like if you're, let's say this was the California rule. If you were UCLA, USC, Stanford.
USC is private.
Is it really?
So they can make some money off their likeness.
I didn't know that.
That's costing you nothing.
No. Okay, but like that's if you're just using the California rule. I'm saying
the California rule is awesome. It costs you nothing.
Well,
costs the NCAA nothing.
I might dispute that if I was the NCAA. You're taking dollars out of their pocket for selling the same merchandise that they don't have to give the kid any money. You know what I'm saying? Like, technically, I'm not giving you the money directly, but if I'm selling
what seems right, though.
Oh, well, since when has the NCAA cared about that?
Yeah,
ding, but it
costs the school nothing, really, like, unless it's the money they're losing.
The schools aren't the ones who are fighting this. It's not UCLA and Stanford or Cal.
I still just don't understand why
these
schools are part of the NCAA whenever they get screwed by some stupid stuff.
Oh, because there are some pretty sweet tax loopholes I've heard in all of this, that if you play ball with the NCAA, you can skirt some different other rules about money. So,
wow.
Hmm.
Because think about it. Oh, people are like, well, that's against the law.
Like, but Duke would never do that,
well,
right?
Duke is also a private school, so they would never. But, I mean, think about it. It makes all the sense in the world. You could say something is illegal all you like, but if all the people with the money and the power all agree that if they work together, they can skirt the rules together, what are you going to do to stop them?
So it takes the state enacting something. But, I mean, the state's run by people with the money and the power,
exactly,
too.
The second we find a state that is clear of any bureaucrats or politicians on the take is the day we found some magical utopia world.
From the A17, the best thing about paying the players, the return of EA Sports NCAA football.
Yeah, the return of the Mac.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy AFC Edition. Just when you thought things couldn't get any worse for the Dolphins. Next, right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.